I appreciated the songs that Deanna picked for this morning because they go right along with what we're going to be talking about. And when we think about even blessed assurance, when you think about the words, we have to ask ourselves, do I really live that way? Do I really praise the Lord all day long? It's similar to what Paul wrote about praying constantly. The idea of being continually in connection with God throughout the day, throughout the night. And that's the idea we're going to be looking at in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. These different things here are oftentimes divided up into separate sermons, but there's a common thread, and so I want to just touch upon them briefly as they tie together, as they question, we should question us as we look at these passages, as to, do I really do what Jesus wants me to do? And that is to seek God first and foremost, every day, all the time. Seeking that relationship with God. Because God is not just a figure, a religious figure. God is not someone out there that we just tap into once in a great while. But He is the great God Almighty who gave His Son for us, that we can have a relationship with Him. A relationship that's not restricted to Sunday morning or just the occasional time that we decide to pray, but a relationship that is 24/7, 7 days a week, for as long as we have breath, and as Christians, of course, that will go on forever and ever beyond the breath of this life. Seeking God first. It's easy to get caught up in the world so much that we don't give God a second thought. You know, we get busy, there's a lot to do, we have work, there's stress, there are things that we worry about. Life is just not always easy, and it's not always pleasant. But God wants us to realize that that's the status quo in this life. But there's help, and that help comes from Him. And that help comes from having that relationship. One of the things they say about marriage is that you have a partner to help you through the good and the bad of life. You have someone to share all your struggles and all your joys with. Well, that's the relationship God has made possible between Himself and you and I. A relationship where God is with us through thick and thin, through all the glories and wonders of life. But He's always here. The question is, are we aware of His presence and His love for us and His help? Do we tap into His power and His wisdom and trust Him? And it really does come down to trust. The temptation that Satan always throws at us is, it's just up to us. Everything's up to us. And God says, we have a part. We're to do our responsibility, but rely upon Him. And Satan's always saying, you got to do it because you can't rely upon God. That's really the message he gives. And so many people buy into that. The first section we're going to look at is 19 through 24. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In this passage, he's asking, you know, really, what is your treasure? What is it that you focus your life upon? If you focus upon that which is of this world, then all you're going to see is of this world. If your eyes, if you see, your focus, everything is negative, then your whole life is going to be negative. If we say, I believe in Jesus, But I got to, it's all upon me. I got to carry all this burden myself. I have things I'm striving for. I want more money. I want more possessions. I want more, more, more. And if that's where our heart is, then that's all we're going to see. That's all we're going to see. And Jesus points out in verse 24, you can't serve both God and money. Yeah. One has to be supreme. When he says in verse 19, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, he's not saying don't save. He's not saying don't plan for retirement. He's not saying don't have a savings account. He's saying don't make that your focus in life. Your focus should not be what the future might be, and you want to have plenty of money to deal with it, because the bottom line is no one ever has enough. You ask the wealthy, they'll even say they don't have enough. That's why some of the wealthiest people in the world keep getting wealthier. Why? Because they don't have enough. If they thought they had enough, they'd stop and they just give it all away. But they don't. They may be very generous, and that's a wonderful thing, but they still don't have enough. They got to have more. And that's true of everybody in every economic level. It's where the focus is. It's where our focus is. There are many very wealthy Christian people who have their eyes upon God and serve Him, and God blesses. But there are far more wealthy people who only look from this world. And when the day comes for them to die, all that they strove for, all that they focus their life upon, comes to a screeching halt. And they enter eternity with nothing. But Jesus tells us to lay up treasure in heaven. That is our ultimate goal, isn't it? That's what Jesus has promised us. Jesus has not promised us a good, healthy retirement. Jesus has not promised us good health. Jesus has not promised us financial security. You look anywhere in Scripture, and you point it out to me if you can find it, but Jesus doesn't promise all of these things. But He does promise eternal life in heaven. So what do we invest our lives in? What should be first and foremost in how we live each and every day? Is it to make a buck? Is it to be healthy? Is it to be happy? Or is it to know the Lord? Wednesday night, we were studying in our study, and we looked at a passage that Paul wrote where he said, we are to crave the Word of God as a baby craves milk. We are to crave that relationship with God. And you know, if you have had children, as most of us here have, you know that when a baby gets hungry, the baby lets you know. And the baby will not be denied. And it doesn't matter if it's at noon, or 4 o'clock, or 1:30 in the morning, or 3:45 in the morning, that baby needs to be fed. Do we feel that way about God's Word? Is that first and foremost to us? Or do we spend the bulk of our time focused on the things of the world? Jesus doesn't say, don't be responsible. He doesn't say, don't look at things, don't want things. He's just saying, if that's the focus, if that's where your eyes are focused, if that's what you're serving in your life, then that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. Remember all of Jesus' parables about the Pharisees and all? How they would stand and pray in public and people would admire them? And he said, they got their reward in full. There's nothing after that because they got what they were after. Their focus was upon the praise of men, not the praise of God. And so they would not receive praise from God. You can't serve two masters. One must be the Lord of your life. You can't serve both God and money. But we can serve God, and making money becomes a tool to be responsible, to look after our families. But everything is in light of God's kingdom. It's always been amazing to me Now, it doesn't matter how much money people put in an offering plate or how generous they are with needs of their community or missions. But what's always amazing to me is how people look at things and decide how much they want to give. One of the issues with my dad over the years was about tipping. My dad, up until about 5 years ago, thought that if you tipped a waitress, you went out to eat, a dollar was sufficient. A dollar was sufficient. Didn't matter the cost of the meal, a dollar was enough. But when I'd buy and I tipped, I always do 20%. My dad just thought I was crazy. And I said, well, you have to appreciate the people who are serving you. And as we had conversations, usually my dad didn't pay too much attention to me, but one day he took us out to eat and he actually tipped $5. Now, it still wasn't 10%, but it was an improvement. Dad began to see, you know, to benefit. It's more that you need to do more than just smile at people and say thank you. And I think that's the whole idea that God is trying to get across to us. Do we value God first and foremost? And do we live our lives accordingly? Do we appreciate Him? Do we give unto Him that which is His due? And His due is our love, our awareness, our desire to know Him and to obey Him, serve Him, and to be generous with what He blesses us with, financially, time, energy, giving of ourselves for the good of God's kingdom. Now, to do good in God's kingdom, that means that we have to allow God to bless us, which is what we have as we go further along. Beginning in verse 25, he said, therefore, notice it's therefore. He's talked about, you know, who do we look at? What is the focus of our life? He now says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Notice what it says. God knows you need these things. You need food. You need clothing. God knows, and He's willing to give. But notice our part. Our part is still to work. Our part is still to plan, to look forward to the future, to meet needs, to be of service to God. But the point is, we're not to worry. We're not to worry. The idea of worrying is, it's all up to me. I got to have more. You know, I don't have enough, and it's all up to me. I got to work extra hard in order to have all that I want, because I want the best food, and I want the best clothes, and I want a lot of all of it. You see where the focus is? And many people, and all you have to do is turn on the TV or go on online on the computer, and you can see all the advertising wanting you to buy, 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 buy. I've never been able to figure out why pharmaceutical companies advertise on TV. You know, when they tell me all the things that this can benefit if I have this issue, however, the list of dangers is even longer than the benefits. Why are they advertising? Why would I want to go out and buy that? And I couldn't go out and buy it anyway. I got to go see my doctor, who I don't totally trust anyway. It's where our eyes are. And the world knows that our eyes are always longing. Always longing. That's why advertising works. Although, I have to tell you, a few weeks ago, I was curious about all the advertising on TV. I don't watch much TV, but all the advertising online drives me crazy. Advertising on my phone drives me crazy. So I Googled it, and I asked, how much does advertising actually work? And each article in response to that search said, no one really knows. Isn't that amazing? No one really knows how much advertising really works. For example, I like Coca-Cola. I like Pepsi. But my favorite is RC, Royal Crown Cola. That's my favorite. It's hard to find sometimes. But what good does a Coca-Cola commercial do for me? How many people do you know have never tasted Coca-Cola? So why all the advertising? If they stopped advertising, maybe they'd make more profit. Who knows? But they know people's eyes are on the things of the world. People's eyes are always hungering for more. And so advertising does draw people in. But Jesus is saying, don't focus on those things. You live your life, you work, you're responsible, you look after your family, you have enough to help other people. But don't spend your time worrying about it, because worrying isn't going to accomplish anything. God says, you're more important than the birds of the air or the grass of the field. All the beautiful flowers, God provides for them. And when you stop and think about your life right now, where you are, whatever age you are, no matter how hard you have worked, no matter how much effort you've put in to get where you are, do you realize that all that you have is truly by the grace of God? It's truly by the grace of God. You and I have far more than we need, don't we? Ron and I talk about all the time, we need to clean house. We need to throw stuff away. We've been saying that for years. Oh, but, well, we want to hold on to that. Oh, we can't throw that away. Well, you know what I'm talking about. But then, you know, it's Valentine's Day. What do you want for Valentine's Day? What can I get you? Birthdays, what do you want? We're at the point where we don't need anything. I got more clothes. When I was a teenager, all the clothes I had hung on the back of my bedroom door. And in two drawers of a dresser. That was it. That was it. Now, see my tie? I looked about a year ago, counted my ties. This is not counting the ones I've thrown away that were as wide as the Mississippi River or as skinny as a pencil. But I could wear one tie each Sunday for 3 years and never duplicate. Now, I've been preaching for over 50 years. And I've had a lot of birthdays and Christmases. But who needs 50 or 52 ties? Times three. What was that? Well, I wasn't even going to go to Rhonda's closet. No, it's where our eyes are. And we can't help it, can we? We can't help it. You know? We like new things. We like things. I still have some shorts and some pants that I had and wore, and I still wear them, that I bought 20, 25 years ago. I don't wear them out. Why? Because I have so many clothes and I rotate them. If I just wore the same pants and the same shirt every week, I'd wear them out, right? But then Rhonda never thinks I have enough shirts. It's human nature. That's why God says you have to decide. You have to decide where your eyes are going to focus. Is it just going to focus on the here and now? And here and now we must focus. But where is our main purpose? Where is our real desire for living? Our real desire for how we live? Is it not in God? Is it not He that we cherish and relish the most? And when we do, God says, I will provide. Sometimes that provision is in a good job. So we can earn and look after ourselves. Sometimes God does do miracles. Because that's what God does. That's nothing to Him. To us, it's a miracle. But God says, don't worry. Don't obsess over these things. Be content in your relationship with God. And the things you need, even the things we desire that are not harmful, God will make possible. But our top priority is in verse 33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There's that craving to know God's Word, that craving to have that relationship with Him. When we have that first and foremost, then our work falls into place. Our desires fall into place. The more we get to know God, because His kingdom, well, we're all happy to be in His kingdom, but do we seek His righteousness? That is, do we strive and desire to be right with God in our living, in how we conduct work, how we have family, how we get involved in the community? Are we striving to find out how God wants us to live and how God wants to work through us? To seek His kingdom, you and I, we're in His kingdom because of Jesus, our faith in Him. We've given our lives to Him. But do we live in relationship with Him? Are we getting to know Him more and more through His Word? The more we focused on God and realize His values and how they apply to our life, we make better decisions for how we conduct ourselves and how we think, and we find greater blessing. Why? Because God's way always works. God's ways always work. Remember, He's the Creator. He knows how it all is supposed to work. And so when we get to know Him increasingly, day by day, in His Word, seeing His wisdom and how it applies to us, we find the knowledge and the power through the Holy Spirit to do as God would have us to do. So that God is more than just somebody on a Sunday morning or at prayer time and at mealtime. But He's a God that's a personal friend, a God that we're getting to know more and more and loving more and more and being able to see with eyes that can see the blessings of God as He gives them. Because we can go through life thinking it's all about our struggle, or we can go through life looking to see amongst the struggle what God is doing in our lives and the lives of others. Verse 34, Jesus states the obvious. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Keep that in mind. Jesus didn't promise us a rose garden. Well, actually, He did. Because most roses have thorns. God promised us a beautiful life, but not necessarily an easy one. He promised us a special life in relation to the Father. And as we walk with Him and know Him, we get lifted up. And we get filled with confidence. And if you want an example of that, look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly for Christ because so many people were against God, against Jesus. And Paul was a strong preacher of Jesus Christ. And he suffered horribly. And yet when you read the Scriptures, what do you see in Paul? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Because his eyes on this world were, well, on his needs. You know, he talks about that in Scriptures, his actual physical needs. And he looks at the people. He's very much in this world, but he sees the people as God sees them, people who need a Savior. And Paul's eyes personally were upon heaven, to that which Christ has promised him. And he said, I strive to reach that. I strive to reach that goal. Why? If Jesus promised it, well, it's a gift, you know. Why work at it? But Paul's attitude, no, my eyes are on the goal of getting there. That's where I'm going. That I'm living my life in preparation for that, to be with God forever in eternity. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm striving for. There's more than just this life, and there's more than retirement, because they call it the golden years, but all that glitters is not gold, is it? The golden years aren't that wonderful. But what's beyond will be. And many of our loved ones have gone on, and they are enjoying the blessings of God that we're looking forward to. But the challenge for us is to be looking for that too. To know God so well that we have that confidence that even if I were should die before this day is out, I will know I'm going to be with Him. It takes away the fear if I'm on my deathbed because I know where I'm going and who holds my hand. I have the confidence of knowing this God and what He has done for me and how He's made my life different. And though I'm still very imperfect and still making wrong choices, there is a grace that is certain and sure. And it's not wishful thinking or hopeful thinking on my part. It's confidence in the promises of God that He has stated clearly. And promises that I have trusted and committed to follow. Imperfectly as I do, committed to follow and do things His way. And when I say I mean us. All of us. That's what we commit to. To this God who loves us so much that He made it possible for us through Jesus to know Him. Not just know about Him, but to know Him personally and be known by Him and thus get through the struggles of life and the joys of life hand in hand with our great God, because we know that the day's coming where that hand in hand will see Him. And He will not just be someone that's right here in a spiritual form, but we will see Him and be with Him forever. Right now we're going to sing a song called The Way of the Cross Leads Home. The way of the cross does lead home. That's what brings us to Jesus. Our home now is with God. We're in His kingdom. But now it must be lived. That relationship with Him. And that's the most special relationship in the world. You know, our closest relationships usually are family. We grow up in family. We have friends, but our closest relationships are usually family. We meet that special someone and fall in love and get married, and that's a special relationship. We have friends and people we work with and acquaintances and people we have some strong connections with. But when it comes right down to it, we're still just ourselves, right? We go to sleep at night, and even though you may have someone lying next to you in the bed, it's still just you. And when you pray, it's just you and God. But see, that's the thing. It's you and God. People without Jesus, when they go to sleep at night, doesn't matter who's with them, they're still alone. But you and I, we're never alone. Because we have the love and the presence of the great God Almighty. But people need to know the way home. And it's our job, it's part of our responsibility with God, is to allow Him to work through us to help others come to Jesus. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing The Way of the Cross Leads Home.